Hello and welcome to this week's Pop Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, James. Coming up this week, we will be chatting through the Reading and Leeds lineup, all that Sex and the City drama, getting our first official review of Black Panther, plus two special guests for you today. Katie's been chatting to Will and Grace star Sean Hayes, Jack himself, and Woody's been off chatting with RuPaul Drag Race legend Sasha Velour. All that coming up, but first, let's kick things off as we always do with WTF News.
What the f*** is happening in the news?
Right, music news straight off, guys. Music news straight off. Arguably the biggest festival in the UK this year, because Glasto's not happening. Uh-huh. Reading and Leeds.
Oh, I didn't know Glastonbury.
Well, let's start there. Glastonbury is not happening this year because they are giving the farmland some breathing space for
the cows,
a year.
The cows need a year off, guys.
That is legit the reason, by the way. Yeah. Sounds like a joke. That is actually the reason they need to give the cows some space. So yeah, this is going to be the biggest music festival of the summer, certainly in the UK. Reading in Leeds, August Bank Holiday weekend. The lineup finally got announced way later than it normally does, but finally got the names here. Some big ones for us, and particularly writing on Pop Buzz. My word, Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco, two of the big headliners there. You got Kendrick Lamar, of course, just released the Black Panther soundtrack, which we'll be talking about later. Kings of Leon. But, you know, still some great names in there. Brockhampton, I love. Post Malone, big popular act. Thoughts and initial feelings. What's appealing to you there? Because we'll probably be going in August, won't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, I loved the lineup, actually.
Oh,
so
good.
I used to go to Reading Festival when I was a kid. I'm sure you did as well.
I'm up Leeds area. But I'm actually from Scotland. So mainly I went to Tea in the Park, which has since died the death. It's up in Festival Heaven now. But yes, similar vibes.
I mean, Katie must have gone every year, I'm sure.
I've been Reading, Leeds.
Never during festival time.
Birmingham.
Yep. Slough, the lot.
But Bristol.
The point is, it's like...
All the hits.
It's like a seminal festival for UK teenagers.
It really is.
For our international listeners. So anyway, and it's very much has a kind of youth focus, normally rockier, metal, that kind of stuff. And obviously some people grow out of that stuff. So,
very true.
And this year, they've kind of gone the other way and actually included loads of great, like you just said, Kendrick Lamar, Post Malone. I was actually really happy to see Hollywood Undead from my MySpace days.
Bringing it back.
I think I would actually go this year, but I know that's not how a lot of people feel, is it?
It's true. Well, the interesting... I saw someone tweet, forgive me, I can't remember who tweeted, but I saw someone say, isn't it funny how loads of people complaining this lineup looks like it's from 2007 and then also complaining that Arctic Monkeys aren't on it? I mean, it's a very, very strange little joke. I mean, that's the initial complaint. Everyone was convinced, I don't really know why, but everyone was convinced Arctic Monkeys were gonna headline Reading and Leeds. They obviously got an album out. They've announced a couple of dates here and there around Europe. I think there's one in Scotland as well. Everyone was convinced. That's why we've not heard anything from them. Arctic Monkeys, Reading and Leeds, it's happening. It's not happening. We've got Kings of Leon. I mean, no shade, Kings of Leon, but I'm sorry, it's 2018. I mean, I'm happy with the rest of the lineup, so I don't really care, but Kings of Leon, that's not happening. I'm sorry.
They just do, like, Sex on Fire.
Yeah, but we know that they won't, will they?
They should.
They won't fill a two-hour set just for that.
What they should do is they should invite Beyoncé to do what she did at Glastonbury. And there's the set.
There's the set. Beyoncé's Sex on Fire cover for 2 hours.
But that whole day is a bit weaker anyway.
It's just not aimed, apart from Skepta, it's just not aimed at us, I would say. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because traditionally, they always did like a kind of indie day, a sort of more traditional rock day, if you like, and then a kind of pop punky emo day. This year, it's kind of a bit spread because, you've got Fall Out Boy on one day, and then you've got Panica co-headlining with Kendrick, which is quite an interesting mix. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, this won't happen this time, but I remember years ago at Reading, 50 Cent went on before Green Day, and the Green Day fans did not approve.
No.
I think his set lasted 20 minutes in both locations before he was bottled off.
Crazy.
That's not going to happen because Kendrick's the biggest star in the world right now, but it's quite interesting that they're still mixing those up a little.
And the time Brendan Urie got bottled in the face.
Well, Brendan's had an interesting run. This will be the fourth time Panic have played, I believe. The first time, he got knocked unconscious. Mm. First song, knocked unconscious by a glass bottle.
And now he's headlining.
Fair play to him for keeping coming back, man.
Oh, how times have changed.
Yeah, it is mad. It is strange that it's kind of all come back. But, I mean, I'm generally in favour. And I've got to say, like, I mean, are there any other festivals that are even grabbing your attention? This is the first one where I've been like, oh, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. I'll definitely make a difference. I mean, Slam Dunk's is kind of a separate thing. I always go to that every year. But in terms of the big, big summertime guns, nothing else has really grabbed me this year, to be honest with you.
No, I'm not really feeling a lot. I mean, we're keen for Mighty Hoopla in London, aren't we?
Oh, that's true. Oh, Katie's got that written all over it.
Wait, no, wasn't there someone really good?
There's various people really good. Hang on, keep talking. I will Google it.
Well, we got Lily Allen's playing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
And then, God.
Hang on, I'm getting it. Right, okay. Oh, my word. Right, you are going to freak out. This is alphabetical order, but just stay with me. Bewitched, obviously.
What?
Woody's favourite, Belinda Carlisle, is coming through. That's amazing. Louisa Johnson and Louise. Amazing.
I like that.
Melanie C. There we go.
Oh,
God, this is all kicking off, actually. And of course, the Venga bus is coming and everybody's jumping. The Venga boys will be making an appearance.
Reading and Leeds, who?
Exactly.
Oh, and a very special guest, TBA, who's co-headlining with Lily Allen, apparently. We'll see who that ends up being.
I bet it's years and years.
Jerry,
they did it last year, though.
They got a new album to plug by that point. Come back around.
We'll see. Okay, well, anyway, basically, Reading, good thing. We will be there in August. We'll see you there too. Only other point to mention, though, we should say, again, the lack of women debate is going to come up, isn't it? Let's be honest. No female headliners. I thought we were going to get Paramore, possibly, but apparently not. I guess they're touring out in the US, I think, around that time, because they're doing a few US summer festivals. Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I always feel a bit bad, particularly for Reading Festival, because they get criticised for this a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it feels like it's more of a wider industry problem, because I can't really think of many other acts apart from Paramore where they would play Reading, maybe like Florence and the Machine. But people always say, like, why didn't they book Bjork? It's like, because Bjork's never going to play Reading and Leeds, obviously.
I mean, she did back in the day.
Well, yeah, long time back.
I guess what I would say to that is that you still got people like Dua Lipa and Sigrid on that bill, quite high up, Wolf Alice as well. I think actually, yeah, obviously there's less options, I guess.
But, for that particular festival, because it's quite specialised.
But if you're widening the kind of genres that you have anyway, if you're integrating more pop, then, well, I'm sorry, but that genre is dominated by women.
That's true. Katie, did you have any picks that you want to throw in there, maybe?
No.
No ideas.
None of the people I like would play Reading and Leeds. Are you joking?
Imagine if Kylie played, though.
Well, she was meant to do Glastonbury back in the day, wasn't
back
she?
In the but, day.
That's true.
But you look at Wireless as well. What was there, like, five women on the Wireless lineup?
That is definitely unacceptable, because women are crushing hip hop, particularly
at the minute.
Yeah. Very strange, but we'll keep an eye on it. Wider industry problem needs resolving. I know we say this every single year, but it'd be nice if they actually did solve it one of these years, wouldn't it? Maybe support more women in your local scene. How about that? Mm. Anyway, what else has been going on this week? Katie, big TV story I see here. What's going on?
Yes, talking of women, something terrible has happened in the world of television, guys. Oh, God. Some sources are saying it's worse than nuclear war.
Wow. Oh, big claim.
Not quite, but I love a hype. The biggest showbiz feud since Drake and Josh.
Oh, wow.
You know, a whole city could be wiped off the map.
A whole character as well, because lest we forget.
The city is a character. This is, of course, the feud between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City.
Right. I've seen the final Instagram post. I don't really know the background. Please break it down for me.
How long have you got?
About a 5-minute segment. Let's go.
So there's been tea about this whole feud for the last 20 years or something. They haven't been friends on set. Things have been happening. And then SJP started talking about a Sex and the City 3 movie. And Kim was like, I do not want to do out of this. Please exclude me from this narrative. And SJP was going on and on. Some things were said in the media that she was that Kim was too demanding. That wasn't true. Whatever. But it all sort of boiled over when Kim's brother sadly passed away.
True. Yeah, recently, wasn't it?
Yes. And SJP, who had been saying some stuff about Kim in the media, she wrote a public comment on Instagram to Kim expressing her condolences, and Kim was not having it.
Right.
Let me get the post.
Here we go.
She wrote, the picture said, I don't need your love and support at this tragic time, Sarah Jessica Parker. And then in the comment, she was like, you're not my family, you're not my friend, so I'm writing to tell you one last time to stop exploiting our tragedy in order to restore your nice girl persona.
Wow.
Hot damn.
Man, shots fired right there. That's full on. Are people taking sides? What's happening with this fandom?
Well, I was going to say, I'm not saying we should, but whose side are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, the question is, people are asking, like, who's the bitch in this situation? Is it Sarah Jessica Parker for kind of trying to reach out, being, and what people are interpreting as, like, disingenuous, with an ulterior motive of getting a bit closer to her to get on her side to make the third film happen? Or is Kim Cattrall just, like, overreacting?
Who knows? I mean, it's a very difficult situation, especially when it's in places of grief.
I mean, I'm with Kim.
I think she can say, oh, yeah, she's perfectly within her rights to boast
Kim.
It.
Kim. Like, from all the reports, Sarah Jessica Parker is shady shade. Okay? Shady
McShade face. Maybe she's very clever at playing the game.
Yeah.
She is the executive producer, after all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm with Kim. I don't want a third movie. Just leave it alone.
Oh, let's be clear. Nobody wants a third movie.
No.
Even they really don't. If they actually thought about it, they don't want a third movie. Dear Lord, that second one was painful enough. Come on.
I am sick of unnecessary sequels.
I agree.
I am sick of unnecessary film adaptations. I'm sick of it all. We need new ideas.
I agree. I very much agree.
You know, I don't mind another TV series coming back. I feel like there's something different in that sometimes. Sometimes I think it's cool. Like Will and Grace. Like, it's really worked.
But the problem is, that's for me, that's the exception to the rule. Will and Grace is the only one that's come back lately. I've been like, oh, this is fresh, this is fun. Mm. It's still got some of the spirit back to it, but it's done a bit of a twist. The others I've been like, oh, really?
I guess the other one recently is Queer Eye, isn't it? That's the other big one that people...
I have not watched that. Have you watched it?
People are raving about
great.
It, yeah.
Okay, fair play.
But generally speaking, look, we don't need a third Sex and the City film.
No.
Kim feels harassed. Leave the girl alone.
Yeah,
leave
the poor
girl
alone.
She's slayed Samantha. But as well, like, in defence of SJP, here we go.
Balance.
She was on a press tour. People keep asking her about it. And, I mean, what do you want her to say?
Yeah, true.
I mean,
yeah.
She's going to be nice.
There's only so many times you can answer that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, it's true.
Well, there we go.
We'll see. Finally, arguably the biggest pop culture story of the week, guys. Huge movie, most anticipated movie of 2018 so far. Black Panther just opened on Tuesday over here, opening. Oh, well, it'll be open by the time you listen to this, guys, over in the US. Have you guys seen it yet? No, Katie?
I have not seen it yet.
Woody, have you made tickets, booking? No?
Unfortunately not.
No. Noted Marvel fan, Woodrow White in the corner there. I mean, I was at the premiere, darling. Sorry, I just had to drop that in there.
Here she goes.
But we had to talk about it, obviously, so we brought a friend of ours from WeTheUnicorns.com. Josh is here, everybody. Give Josh a round. Here we go.
Oh, clap.
Hello, hi, mate. So, obviously, we went to the screening the other night.
We did.
We have a lot of thoughts and feelings to get out, as we have been discussing in the office for God knows how long. You were particularly hyped, I've got to admit. I've not seen you get this excited about a film, maybe ever, or anything ever, really. I think you were breaking out in a sweat at the mere sight of Mr. Chadwick Boseman. Talk me through initial thoughts of initial feelings.
Okay, just for the record, it goes deeper than thirst.
Okay.
As much as Chadwick Boseman is my god now. I guess for me, you know, growing up, I love superhero films and superhero cartoons growing up. But apart from Storm, I guess, there just weren't many black superheroes on film. So it was incredible to see it. Like, little Josh inside of me was screaming at just seeing all this sci-fi action hero incredible beauty on stage with an all-black cast. It's just something that's never happened before. And, you know, we had Guess Out a few months ago. We had Moonlight before then. So there's just been a really cool string of... thank you. A really cool string of black films that have been coming out and been getting huge mainstream attention. So it's really exciting. It's a really exciting time.
Yeah.
And I was so glad that the film lived up to its hype and more. You know, there wasn't a second where it let the ball drop. You were excited from start to finish. You were never bored. Mm. Everyone was gorgeous. It was acted beautifully.
Oh, what a cast. And we should say, you know, they did that typical thing. I mean, remember when we went to Guardians a few months back, right, when we had Chris Pratt on the show and all that stuff. They did that beautiful thing where they bring the cast out before the film and they all take their little bow. I've never seen an audience go more wild for when, particularly Daniel Kaluuya. Oh my God, the place went nuts when that. I mean, hometown boy, but wow.
There were two moments, I think, Daniel and Lupita, where everyone just went, I mean, breathing the same air as Lupita is just
Yeah.
I was so gagged.
It was great. Where me and Josh were sat as well. So they had a DJ playing before it kind of all kicked off. And where me and Josh were sat was right next to the entranceway where the actors were coming out. And we could see him. We were like, oh my God, there's Daniel. Oh, there's Chadwick. They're all coming through. But the best bit was the DJ then put on Man's Not Hot by Big Shaq. And Daniel lost it. He went off. It was so good. Mouthing all the words. Even Martin Freeman was getting involved in the back. Like, they were loving the vibes in there. And it was just a big party, wasn't it? It was just a big, big party going off. It was amazing.
So will there be a sequel? Because this is the thing. I guess they're testing out, is there going to be an audience for this? From obviously no spoilers, guys.
I think it's fair to say there's the audience, right?
Yeah, I mean, the audience want a sequel, I imagine. I can't see them just doing one.
They're about to go into Infinity War Avengers. Oh, yeah. I think that's out in May, so he will be appearing in that. He was in Civil War, of course, before. I imagine post Avengers we're going to be getting a lot of announcements. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 officially confirmed, Black Panther 2, it's inevitable there'll be a Black Panther 2.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
so good.
Not to give spoilers, but the film I guess kind of ends at a turning point for the world in which you've just been introduced, and they kind of make some decisions about them and what they're going to do in the future. And it feels like it is waiting and ready for a sequel.
Yeah.
And it's hard to describe without giving too much away, but the way the ending is set up, that sequel could be so badass.
Yeah.
Like superheroes for the contemporary world. Like, completely what we need right now.
It's going places. It's going places, guys. Let's do some plugging as well. We should say, if you've seen Black Panther, even if you haven't seen Black Panther, wonderful little video over on the PodBuzz YouTube channel right now. We went to the junket, a chat with Chadwick and Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis. The best bit being getting them to name as many Marvel movies as they could in 1 minute. I don't know if you guys want to try that now. I mean, between you, how many Marvel movies could you name? 3, 2, 1, off you go. Start shouting them out.
Wait, sorry, you tested me before you went to the junket, so I know the answer.
Okay.
So I can't play.
Prove it. Go on.
Well, shall I do it?
Woody, I'm going to give you 1 minute on the clock. Please name for me as many movies in the MCU as you possibly can. 3, 2, 1, off you go, my friend.
So there's Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yes.
It's X-Men.
No, not Marvel. Not Marvel. Well, it is, but not the MCU.
Oh, God, whatever.
He's red.
What about that Green Man thing?
The Incredible Green Man. Yes, that's what he's called.
That's like the
begins with an
version.
H.
Oh, Hulk.
There we go.
But I meant the other Green Man.
With
Green Ryan...
No, you're thinking of something else. No. We are 3 and we are halfway through the minute.
Swim Dead? Josh is miming for me.
Well, you're clearly miming Deadpool, which again is not the MCU.
Deadpool.
No, it's not the MCU. No.
It was the Lego movie in there. I don't know.
Last
Sex
10 seconds. 10 seconds.
Sex and the City 1.
10 seconds. Fire some out.
What do you do to your clothes?
I wash them.
After that.
I wear them. I bury them.
Time's up. Oh, Iron Man.
Yeah.
I was wondering. I was going like for the dryer or something. I was like, what's going on there?
Did Woody just out himself as someone who never irons?
And burns his clothes.
Well, Woody, you scored 3 out of a possible 17. I don't want to spoil the video if people want to watch it, but the cast did do slightly better than that, so do have a little look. Black Panther, massive story, big thumbs up in the PodBuzz office is the point here today. And thank you very much, Josh. We will see you again, I'm sure, in future episodes. Let's give Josh a hand, please.
Woo! The iconic Jack McFarlane himself.
Uh-oh.
Sean Hayes.
That's me.
How are you?
I'm good, hon. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How's your time in London?
I love it here so much.
Really?
I would live here in a second if I could.
Move over.
Let's do it.
Will
you help me unpack?
Yes, of course.
And move furniture around?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Can I move in?
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Baby steps.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're
going to do
this.
Let's see how this goes first.
Yeah. So congratulations on the incredible success
of
Will
and
Grace.
Thank you.
You guys have just been nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yes.
You lost.
Yes, for the 39th or 40th time.
Yeah.
39th.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And your SAG Award nomination as well.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
How did that feel, sort of coming back after 10 years? Like, how did everyone... Did you ever expect that
kind
of reaction?
No, the nominations, you mean?
Yeah.
No, as you know, I think, don't quote me, but I think there's something like over 500 shows now, streaming or on cable or network or whatever. And so to be singled out as one of the one of those 500, any one of them could have been chosen, is pretty phenomenal and very welcomed with flattery and graciousness. So, none of us ever expected any of this kind of response. But we had proof of concept in the election video, and we did another short like music video thing. So the audience was prepped. They saw us, they laughed, they enjoyed it, they responded, the network saw that. So it wasn't as scary of a thing to turn the TV on to watch us as people might have been a little apprehensive. Yeah. They saw that it was working, and so they anticipated it with more excitement, I think, than usual. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funnier than ever.
Thank you.
Completely seamless. You guys are all, like, incredible. Back on your game.
Thanks.
Amazing.
Thank
I love
you.
It. Well, what we want to do with you today, because we have Jack with us, we want to play a game with you.
Oh, fun.
So it's a quiz. We know you love game nights as well.
I love it, yeah.
And Will and Grace love great game nights. So we want to know, how well does Jack McFarlane know Will and Grace?
Okay, Sean Hayes or Jack?
Well, no, let's do Sean Hayes.
Okay.
Because Jack would, pay attention to him?
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
So how well does Sean Hayes know Will and Grace?
Sean Hayes know Will and Grace. There we go. All right, question one. Where did Will and Grace first meet?
Oh, gosh. Well, they met in college.
Yep.
Do I need to be more specific than that?
Yeah. You can give a name of the university.
Oh, God.
That's an extra point.
I don't remember.
It's Columbia.
Oh, really?
They went to Columbia.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love these kinds of
What is Grace Adler's middle name?
Yes, it is. Can you give me the first letter?
E.
God, I don't know.
Elizabeth.
Oh, that's right. Grace Elizabeth Adler, yeah.
I'm sure you've said it, like, that you've double-named
Grace
her.
Grace Elizabeth Adler, yeah. That's great.
What was the name of Will's boyfriend who Grace married in season 8?
Grace married his boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. For a green card. There's your clue.
Played by Bobby Cannavale?
Nope.
Played by Taye Diggs?
Yes.
Starts with an F?
A J. The most basic J name.
J.
James.
Oh, James.
James. all right, next question.
James,
when is Grace's birthday?
Oh, well, come on. Grace's birthday? I have no idea.
April 26th.
How do you know that? How would anybody know that? That's
Google.
So crazy. Wow.
I mean, you say it in the show, too, not you. I mean, it's mentioned.
Do they give the year?
Oh, it's like, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I think they do, but... Okay. You won't get this.
So this game's really fun so far.
What is Will's username on the Barry Manilow fan site?
Fanilow.
There's a bit before it.
Oh. I don't know.
No one Fanilow. Or
no.
Number one Fanilow.
Number one Fanilow.
It was close. I'll give you a point for that.
Okay.
Which celebrity does Grace get compared to while she's in Los Angeles?
Grace was in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Not Lucille Ball, because that'd be too easy.
So it is a red-headed celebrity.
What, Fergie?
Nope.
I don't know who.
Kathy Griffin.
That is hilarious. See, I don't know. I don't remember that at all.
She always says, like, I look like Nicole Kidman, blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if... Are you going to do this with everybody?
I'm only speaking to you.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're playing against yourself.
Okay.
But there we go. The next question is...
By the way, I love that they're all questions not about Jack McFarland.
Well, I mean, it's how well do you know Will and Grace?
Oh, got it. I thought you meant the show. Okay.
No, them in particular. What is Karen's nickname for Will?
Yeah. I know this. What is Karen's nickname for Will? It's William.
Nope.
Wilma.
Wilma,
yeah,
that's it. There you go. Which one of Will's brothers did Grace end up in bed with?
John Slattery.
Yes.
No idea.
His name is Sam.
Okay.
There you go. What is Will's apartment number?
9C.
Yes. And the last question, it's a big one, you can get extra points for this. Name the three women Will has had romantic relationships with, and for the bonus point, name the actresses who played them.
Oh, there's in a million years. The three women... he hasn't had any relationship with a woman on the show. You mean in Will's past?
Yes. They've been on the show. They've sort of come back into it.
Oh, yes. One was Mira Sorvino.
Yes.
One was... I don't remember.
There was Claire, played by Megan Price.
Okay.
Diane was Mira Sorvino.
Oh, wait. And Chloe Sevigny?
No.
Oh, who?
Grace.
Oh, Grace. That's good.
There we go.
If only I can remember that actress's name.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember either. There we go. So Will and Grace, Channel 5 in the UK now.
Yeah, exciting, huh?
I mean, I've seen it all. It's incredible.
That's great.
Everybody go and watch it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. It was such a pleasure.
Sean Hayes, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. Sean Hayes. Well done, Kay. Sounded very, very fun. Yeah, talk me through the experience. Was he as delightful in person as he was in our ears there?
He was.
Good.
He is so nice, so funny, so brilliant. I don't know. It's really weird. Like, how long have I been watching that show? Ages.
Mm.
Came out, well, it's been 20 years since it started, 98. It's just like walking into a room with an old friend.
Aww, isn't that nice? That's very, very sweet.
I love that show.
Jack.
It is fantastic. I mean, like we were just saying, that revival is so, so good.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's doing the job. Points out of five. We got to rank them.
Do you know what? It has to be a five.
Oh, yes. I'll allow that one.
It's my favourite TV show of all time.
Exactly. This is why I will allow that one. We can't be dishing out fives every bloody week, but I will allow this one. Very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my rule. I'm making the rule.
I'm just saying, you said something else completely different last week.
I know, but that was when there were loads of us. And also the guest was very hungover, as you will recall. So it's slightly different, isn't it? I'm presuming that Sean Hayes was stone cold sober, as you can kind of hear in that audio. Very nice. All right, not one, but two guests this week, guys. Here we go. This is the interview with Sasha Velour.
Hi, Sasha Velour.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so good. I'm excited to be here.
I am so glad you're here. You walked into our world with a scream,
yes.
And then you became the Drag Race superstar.
I guess so.
And now you're on your first UK tour. How's it going?
It's going really exciting.
Yeah.
It's going so well. We have 20 cities, which is incredible, in 25 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a bit of a marathon.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to see this beautiful country.
And can you even put it into words how much your life has changed? Now you're a big touring artist. You've got fans all over the world. People love you.
That part is so surreal. You know, in my heart, I'm still just like producing shows for a little dive bar. That's why it's very confronting to realize the audience is so much bigger. But
yeah.
In a certain sense, I'm doing what I've always done and what I've always loved, so I couldn't be happier.
Well, I was watching some videos of your performances before Drag Race, and seeing them, your performances now, because I spy on you on YouTube all the time, I can't help it. There is, you know, it is a similar show, obviously much bigger and different songs and everything, but you stayed very true to yourself, it seems.
Yeah, I was really looking for an opportunity to take what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Have this larger scale. Have a stage that doesn't like wobble under my feet and snag my stiletto.
Health and safety hazard.
And sometimes I still do have those kinds of stages. Just a reminder of the glory of drag.
Yeah. Let's go back to the show, because at what point did you realize, oh my god, I'm in with a shot. I could win this. Or did you think that from the start?
I thought it from the start, to a certain extent. But also,
good.
I'm a very self-critical person, so
yeah.
The whole time I was like, well, you just blew it at this time.
Pretty much
every day, a little bit. Even even stepping out into that final performance, I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. But I've just, no matter what, I've just tried to give everything my absolute all.
Yeah.
Take every chance.
And you did.
Yes.
And it worked. But there was a moment I felt like when I was watching it, like you were kind of an underdog for a bit. It wasn't until the later half of the series that you really fully came into your own. Did you feel like that in the show, or was that just like an editing thing? That's just the way it's done?
No, that's like a me personality.
Really?
It takes me a while to get comfortable somewhere before I can really let my full freak out.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of an anxious person and I'm shy too.
Yeah,
which
no.
is a bit strange for a drag queen. But
well,
it served me well because I think people like drag with a bit of heart and realism too.
Rue always says there's that introverted extrovert kind of thing. Is that kind of how you would describe yourself?
Absolutely. So it takes a little while and then they get the full freak.
Yeah. And how has your drag changed since Drag Race? Has it evolved? Is it
bigger costumes,
yeah.
larger suitcases?
Now you got the money.
Exactly. No, it's been. I just costume is always something that I wanted to go absolutely crazy with,
yeah.
but I had to work with what I could afford and what I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And now my dreams can be so much larger.
Well, I was interested to learn that your crown, which you're not wearing today, but you've got a lovely headpiece instead. But your crown was inspired by the Archie comics and Jughead, is that correct?
It's inspired by Jughead and also Basquiat and also the book by Maurice Sendak, Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, lovely.
Where Max is given a little yellow crown to wear among the beasts. That feels very much like experience with dragons.
All three mixed in. That's the kind of satirical thing.
Yeah.
But I was wondering if you were a fan of, you know, the Archie comics, because I know you make comics as well. Is that another influence in that line of work for you?
Absolutely. So you go to the grocery store and get the huge Archie digest and read about heterosexuality and all adventures.
Like, what is this?
Exactly. Fascinating. They're such interesting types.
Have you had a chance to check out the Riverdale series? Because they based it on...
It's very serious, isn't
it? It's very... It's like a noir kind of style.
It's like Archie, but Twin Peaks.
Yeah. What do you think of Cole Sprouse's Jughead? Are you into his characterization?
Very brooding. I mean, I'm always interested in a different interpretation. But for me, Archie... and the Riverdale world is like bright colors and
hot
music, and I do miss that a little bit, even though I love taking things way too seriously as well.
could Sasha Velour ever be like Jughead's drag alter ego? You know, could that ever happen?
Oh, sure, why not? I mean, it's definitely the product of a strange loner who likes wearing crowns.
Yeah.
Spends too much time thinking and brooding, so there's, to that extent, it's supposed
to
be cool.
There's so many similarities. Can we talk about how Drag Race has influenced drag in the wider community? Because I think that's a big talking point at the moment, and one of the things I wanted to ask you really was how has Drag Race changed drag?
I mean, it sort of resuscitated drag at the moment when it started. I think Drag Race has created a whole universe of many people interested in pursuing drag for themselves. And that's fabulous. When Drag Race came on television, I feel like the gay community in general was focused on, was very interested in, dare I say, a kind of assimilation politics, like showing straight people in the world at large that we are just like everyone else. And I think drag offered kind of a radical different saying and reminded people that there's been this grand tradition of queer people, gay people saying, actually, we're fabulously different and this is why. And I think it's been so empowering for people to see that message and
definitely
take it and run with it.
And particularly when you compare it with, say, like 10 years before, where it would have been Will and Grace would have been the majority kind of representation, which has its place,
absolutely,
of course. But when you see the change in stories, that gives you hope, right?
Exactly. For all the little gay kids who identified with Karen on Will and Grace and not Jack or Will, RuPaul's Drag Race offered a pleasant course.
Yeah. But how about different types of queens on RuPaul's Drag Race? Yeah. Because there's obviously a very polished kind of look that you get, varied, but polished. You know, would you like to see drag kings, for example, on Drag Race? Would you like to see the bearded queens, you know, the untucked ones? What kind of drag would you like to see come into it?
What I always say is that drag, even before Drag Race, was so much wider than people realized. And even Drag Race itself has only scratched the surface.
I feel so, yeah.
How broad the world of drag is. And I don't know if it is RuPaul's Drag Race's job to show us everything. Maybe we need more TV shows. Shows like Dragula, created by the Boulay brothers, that do help introduce people to different styles.
Yeah.
I know in the live show that I produce called Nightgowns in Brooklyn, we try to expand that even further. And drag kings are a very important part of that. AFAB performers who perform drag queen or hyper queens, even types of burlesque. Those are all part of the great history of drag, and I think it does need to be represented.
Because that's such a good point. We just actually need more drag shows.
Yeah, right?
I'm down for that.
Every TV show should be a drag TV
show. Maybe Ru can have his own channel, and then we can just do the Oprah thing, you know, just have the O channel.
The RuPaul Network.
Yes.
I'm sure she wouldn't mind.
I'm sure she wouldn't. We can't let you go without talking about All Stars 3.
Okay.
Have you been watching it? Have you been catching up?
I have, I stayed up till 1 a.m. to watch the first episode last week.
What did you think? What did you think of Aja's death drop off the box?
God. We're finally seeing the Aja that I know in Brooklyn and love, and I'm so excited for people to see just what incredible, unstoppable drag queen she is.
Yeah, because when she walked into the workroom when on your season, you know, you said you were a massive fan. She's everyone's talking about her in New York. And then it was slightly underwhelming. Was that a surprise to you as someone who'd been a big admirer of her work?
Yeah, because the Aja that I know is absolutely unstoppable. And I think she did just kind of get into her head a little bit. Maybe a product of being so young, too. And it's so exciting to see her really slay the game now. I'm excited.
And does that mean that you would like Aja to win All Stars 3?
I don't really choose teams. I'm not really a sports person, so I've never quite understood that. But I just root for whatever makes me scream. And in that first episode, it was Aja and Ben and Kennedy just brought the house down. It was incredible.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sasha Velour, ladies and gentlemen. Another fun one.
Yes,
another fun
queen.
One. Yeah, again, Woody, was she as delightful in person as she was?
She was. What you can't see, unfortunately, is that she was dressed like a vagina.
Wait, what?
She was dressed as a vagina.
I'm going to need more description than that.
Like, you know when you, like, you meet someone
and
you're like...
I can't wait to hear this explanation.
The thing is, at first I didn't realise. It's been a long time, what can I say? But I basically, you know, met her, sat down, and she basically had, like, ruffles, and I just kind of thought there were ruffles all around her, like, neck and, like, downwards. And then I checked back on the photos afterwards, and she's literally there dressed as a vagina.
That's incredible.
It's crazy, guys.
Dear Lord. Yeah. Do we have video footage of this one?
Oh, yes. You can find it on popbuzz.com.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Dear Lord.
She was delightful, though. Funny, informative. Like, oh, I just felt at ease. I felt like I made a new best friend.
Oh, guys.
Yeah. What a week. What a week.
We've made some new friends this week.
So many good new friends. Rating out of 5, please, Woody.
Oh... 5.
There we go. Of course.
It's
of course.
A 5.
Cloying. To be fair, for a vagina outfit, fair play. Yeah. I'll allow that one.
I feel like that should be the new marker of a 5. Unless they're wearing a vagina outfit.
We're gonna have to start doing 2 ratings. Like rating out 5 as a guest, rating on their how much they are dressed like a vagina.
Yeah.
I think it could work very, very nicely. That's about it for this week, guys. Please do go and subscribe over on iTunes and over on all those lovely places that you get your podcast. Go back and list all the previous episodes there as well. We're back next week. I want to give a clue to the guests next week. You guys clearly can't remember who we've got lined up. Basically, they barely answered a question. So, who, you know, let's give them a clue. Nice little clue. Who have we got on the Popbuzz podcast next week? Who have we got?
What if I went like bleep bloop blorp?
I mean, I get what you mean, but yeah, might be a bit obscure.
I'm gonna say dun, dun, dun.
Super Bowl.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm gonna say the thing you find on camels' backs, humps.
Wow, wow. I mean, yes,
humps.
It's a reference point. It's a reference point. We're going with humps, bleep, bloop, bleep, blorp. I think you shouted Super Bowl as well.
Super Bowl.
That's your clues. That's your clues. Tweet us
You've
at PopBuzz. Tweet us at PopBuzz. I think Woody's is the most obvious one there. Give us a tweet. See if you can guess it. We'll be back next week. Until then, it's goodbye from Katie. Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's goodbye from Woody. Say goodbye.
Ciao.
It's goodbye from me. We'll see you next week.